Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. All right. All right, let's get started, guys. It's good to see everyone this evening. It's really good to see y'all all. Whoa, I got a big reverb there. And I've been home sick for 2 weeks. And there was a time there I thought I wanted to get better. But God is good. And it's been very encouraging to get the text messages, the phone calls, the cards that I've got from several of you. I appreciate it a great deal. I'd like to thank you all as well for the love that showed me and my family during the death of my sister, Genoa. That's been a rough time for me and my family. And I appreciate y'all's care for me so I can be able to care for them. And so I thank you guys. Tonight our subject is a kind of different subject. You know, you're talking about lust tonight, you know. And it's one of those subjects that a lot of times we don't like to talk about. You know, it's like one of those, they showed the commercial of the guy, his car quit and his dad and him in the car. And dad say, well, son, you know, do you have any questions about the birds and, you know, all this stuff? And the son was like, please, record company, come. Please, record company, come. Because it's something that you don't like to talk about. It's not a pleasant thing to talk about. Usually when you hear the word, or you hear it in this context, it's always done in a negative way, or you heard someone has gotten caught up in. You know, you look at the definition of, and I looked at several definitions of this, lust of the flesh and pride of life is the subject tonight. You know, a lot of them have a lot of sexual connotation to it. You know, very strong sexual desire is one definition has it. Now, I looked at another definition and say a very strong desire for someone, you know, looking at it from the verb tense. But I saw a definition that I thought that would work for us tonight. And it kind of broadened the horizon a little bit about this subject. The definition goes like this. Lust is a strong emotion or feeling. Lust can be taken in any form, such as lust for sex, lust for expensive objects or extravagant things, lust for power. So we never look at it from that standpoint. I know when I was a college minister for many years, one of the things that we always had to talk about with the guys is the way you're spending your time, where's your eyes, where's your hands, all this stuff, especially when they started dating, you know, making sure that they're not getting caught up in something and getting entrapped in something that's going to hurt them down the line or hurt the group down the line. And so when we talked about it in that connotation, it always had to do, and they hated to come in and talk to me. When they started dating, all of them had to, they come to me and say, we got to go talk to G about this. We got to go talk to G about this. Or we got to talk to Miss Connie about this. And so we tried to soften the blow, but we had to be very honest with it. If you think about the definition, lust is a strong emotion or feelings. Your emotion and your feelings are getting away and telling you, your eyes are telling you, and your hearts are telling you, your hands are telling you that you really have a strong desire for this. I want this. And it happens a lot. And we see it in our world today. You know, you talk about lust, there's no billboards that you go to. You go to billboards, you go to the internet. I don't care if you're on the internet, something's going to pop up. It's going to pop up. The world reminds you, say, hello, I got your attention. You know? And my problem I have is the lust of cars. Those car pop up, boom. You know, Gary, you need to go see about that new Titan truck. No, you don't. and it comes in those forms and those fashions. But as Christians, what God wants us to do is to learn how to handle those things and put them in the proper perspectives. And as Christians, sometimes when we talk about this and we don't ever want to really engage in conversation about this, because sometimes, be quite honest, we are embarrassed because we have gotten caught up in it. Let's be honest. My sister said, tell the truth, shame the devil. And we don't. We don't want people to know that, man, I had that thought in my mind, or that went across my mind, or that it led me to this, it led me to that. And it takes over us. The worst one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to look at is the win in the war against lust. Is what I mean. I'm going to give you some things that we can win the war against lust. But one of the things is that we ourselves, and I'm going to repeat this later on, we ourselves got to make sure that we're not keeping it hidden and keeping it inside. Because if you keep it hidden and you keep it inside, what's going to happen? You're going to fall. Let me read you a couple of scriptures here. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, I'm just going to read different excerpts from different verses here. I like this. It said, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Okay? My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Okay? John said he's writing this so that you won't get caught up in this world called sin. Verse 3 said, I know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But anyone who obeys the word loves God, and the truth is made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. This other passage it says, drop down to verse 12, it says, I'm writing you, dear children, and listen carefully what he's saying, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. This is Jesus. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Say amen when you can. I am writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Listen to that. You are strong in the word of God. Because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. He said that twice in there. You have overcome the evil one. Guys, one thing that we know, and I'll read this verse right here, this next verse here, and then I comment, it said, verse 15. He said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever. One thing, guys, when you're talking about lust, you're understanding that what you have is a desire that's not from God, but it's from where? Where it's from? It's from the world. It's the world. It is something that the world has told you that you need to make you happy. or to satisfy some desire that you have inside of you. It is. That's what every commercial is about. I was talking to Roland Graham at breakfast yesterday morning. I said, do you know that they hire psychologists to help put commercials on? You know why? Because they know human behavior. They studied human behavior. And they know how human beings think. And they know how they desire certain things. So they play on that. Just think about, I'll give you an example. Okay? Think about different, this is me, because this is my whole world, JP. It's cars. Look at car commercials. When the Kia Soul came out, y'all remember when the Kia Soul came out? And they had the big fat rabbit first was the commercial. And they had the big fat rabbit, and by the end they get in the car, and they get out, and they're in the spotlight, and they slim, they slick, they look good, you know. That's for young people. Their market was for 20-year-olds, for 20-year-olds and up. Because they want to stay slick and hip. Saying that, you know, man, you get this Kia Soul, guess what? You are it. Take for instance for the Mercury MLK. I think is that the SUV? Lincoln. And they have that right there. Who's the actor? McConaughey. He's the one that does that one. Slick, cool, ride back, got it together, hair looked together, bald head, blue eyes, man alive, I gotta have it. Woo! This is what I wanna be. You know what I mean? That's the way it works. And then look, and you take and you look at all of this stuff right here, is that our world, the world we live in, the world in which Satan is a part of, tells us, and sometimes tells us, what we should have. And we get caught up in it. You gotta have this, you know, you gotta have this girl. That's the one thing on campus. And you ask the guy, say, why do you like this girl? Tell me something about this girl. Oh, gee, she looked good. Lord have mercy. Woo! When I look at that woman, I said, wow. I said, tell me something about her. Well, she's about 5'4". Oh, she's about 120 pounds. Lord, she got the prettiest brown eyes I ever seen. Woo! Lord, man, when she walk and all this stuff, you know, see what you're saying? What did he just describe? Did he describe her or describe her body? Body. I got caught up in it. So tell me something about her. You know, what do you know about a mom and dad? Huh? What's a mom and what's a mom's name? Huh? What's a dad's name? What's a major? They have no clue because they got just caught up in it. She smells so pretty. Yeah? Ain't nothing wrong with it. But, you know, you get caught up in all of this stuff. But the problem is that you get caught up because the movies that you watch, the things you watch on the internet, tells you that now you have the right to go wherever with this relationship because you are heavily in lust with this woman, heavy in like. My dad called it heavily in like. You ain't in love, you're heavy in like with this person. And you get caught up in all the physical things about them, know nothing about them spiritually, know nothing about them socially. All you know about is what you want from that person. And we get caught up in those things. And not only with that, you know, it's some people the same way when you describe a career. Describe a career. Some people describe a career like it's the best thing, and they get caught up in it, and they're moving forward, and they're doing this right here, and I got to work this 60, I got to work this 70, I got all this stuff. Oh boy, I got to be just like boom, 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 boom. And they get so wrapped and tied up in the lust of being successful and having the power and has forgotten about everything else around them. Have you ever seen that before? I'm going to give you an example of two of those. When I started out in campus ministry in 1989, and I left here in 1990 in Indiana University, we would meet with the campus ministers in that area, Illinois and Indiana. We would meet probably once a month. We would gather together, and we would meet. We would talk about, you know, our ministries, what we want to do, how we want to make them work, how we want to collaborate on some things. What would be a, you know, what we had a host of a retreat, a common a retreat together. And the numbers start dwindling in the campus ministers. And you start hearing this thing here, where he forgot that he was married. Huh? You know, I went hip to that one. I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that one. I say, forgot this man. Oh. When I was there in that area, Indiana area, Kentucky area, saw three campus ministers lose their wives because they got caught up in lust and lustful behavior, got caught up in relationships they didn't have any business doing because of this thing of the world. One guy said, well, she wasn't putting up, my wife wasn't. Well, I have to go somewhere. So he drags one of his students into immorality with him. See, folks, it's real. And it happens all the time. My best friend in college, graduated from college. We grew up together. We sang in harmony together. We did things together. I did his first wedding that I performed was his wedding. My best friend in college. Hung out together. He got a job here in Huntsville. I'm not calling the place where he got a job. He got a job making more money than he ever made in his life. You know, when he was penny pitcher, man, we were penny pitcher. We was going out doing this right here. But when he got that, he got a new set of friends. New set of friends. Stepping up the ladder. Moved up very quickly. By the time he was 32 years old, he was in the six figures. He was there. His wife called me. He left me. Oh, not only left me, but he left me for my best friend. Because they worked together. Climbing up the corporate ladder, all this stuff. And then when they had the big freeze, he was low man on the totem pole, lost everything he had, didn't know where to go. He got caught up. Stopped showing up for church. We moved to Indiana. I come back here. Now, where is he? Anybody see him? I'm going to call his name because a lot of y'all know who he is. I probably gave it away by saying he was in Harmony. But he got caught up. The lust of his job, the eyes of the world told him that he needed these things. Went back and pledged a fraternity. One of the worst fraternities at Alabama A&M. Went and pledged a fraternity and vowed his life to that life, all his life. And he's still doing it. 55 years old, still walking around with gold boots and a purple shirt. He's caught up. He is. But he loves Jesus. He has one of the Baptist churches here in town, and he loves Jesus, and he sings everything else. But when I saw him one time, he tried to hide. Tony Collins and I was walking to Walmart. He tried to run from us because he's been drinking. I called him and I said, hey! And he said, hey! We went up there, and he was so embarrassed. He lost his soul. You tell me you can't happen. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Sometimes you look around and you put people on a pedestal and you think they're doing right. They have this lust inside of their hearts and their minds, and they lose their mind and they fall away from Christ. Well, how do you go about winning the war against lust? How do you go about winning the war? I wanted to give you a definition of all this while we get in this right here. I wanted the good news of it. It's how you win the war. You know, we think about it. How do you win this war? Gary is all around us. You hear young men say, Gary is all around us. It's everywhere we go. It doesn't matter where you go. And when you read the scripture, you know, it tells you the lust of what? No, for everyone in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, back in First John. The lust of the pride and the pride of life. comes not from God, but from the world. Satan is very busy tricking us and telling us that we need stuff we don't need. Some of us need to be scared straight about it. Some of us need to look around and see some of these people that are disappearing around you and figure out why they're disappearing around you. Why they have problems that they have. What's caused them? I was reading an article the other day, and the guy said that the guy in the article was talking about that he had a minister friend that he adored, and he was looking forward to working with him, but he decided to go with another ministry, and the guy stopped calling him and stopped getting in contact with him, and found out he had left his wife. He had 3 teenage children, 2 of which was boys. He made emphasis on that and forgot about it. He said it scared him straight because I got 2 daughters and a son. And it scared him to understand that I've got to be holy unto God. And then, you know, you read scriptures like Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. How are you going to overcome it? Guys, we got to start offering ourselves as holy, as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That means that, man, we cannot play with this stuff. It is real. Satan is destroying people because of this stuff. And then he said, this is your true and proper worship to God. You don't need to worship these things. That's what lust and part of lust is. It's worshiping something that you have a desire and you start and you want it and you're giving all your homage to it and you don't care what it brings. I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, women, whatever. Whatever you give your allegiance to, that's your Lord, that's your God, and that's what you're worshiping all the time. Then verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to win the war against lust in your life? Brothers and sisters, we've got to be transformed in the renewing of our mind. Satan is after your mind. That's where it all starts. It starts with a thought, doesn't it? That is always a thought. You're flipping through a magazine, you go, ooh. You go, okay, I don't need to look at that. You put it up there. You look at it, you go, woo! You know, you do that. Well, you don't do that now because y'all flip through magazines, y'all go on the internet, you know. And you look at the stuff, but your mind is renewed. You got to start out, guys, saying that I want to be holy. I want to be holy in everything I do in my life. I want to please God. And this is the proper worship. This is how I worship God. And then it says, I no longer conform to the patterns of this world. Guys, that means that, let me tell you something. Some things you're watching on TV, you gotta stop it. Hello? Some places that you're going, you need to stop going there. When I was campus minister down in Tallahassee, when I first got there, you know, we had a big problem in, getting kids to Sunday school on Sunday morning. So a guy I was studying the Bible with at the time, I was asking him, I said, man, why? Has this always been a problem with y'all coming to Sunday school and stuff like this? This is what he said. Serious. This is what he said. Exact words. He said, we was at the club last night. We was at the club last night and we was talking about the same thing, Alan, at the club. I just sat there and looked, and I was just shocked. He said, gee, what did I say? I said, you was at the club last night talking about this. He's a non-Christian. About 6 or 7 Christians was at that club with him. He said, we go every Saturday night. What are they doing? Are they conforming to God or are they conforming to the world? Well, we're not drinking. That was when I sat down and talked to all of them in the room, my office. I sat down and talked to them. I said, y'all know that club has a live feed on Saturday night. I said, I'm leading singing this Sunday. And I'm going to stay up and I'm going to look to the audience. And if I see any of y'all, then I'm going to call y'all out. Gee, that's not funny. I'm not trying to be funny. You got a guy here that's trying to find out about Jesus and you're taking him up in a club? Where is their mind? Where's their mind? Where does Satan have in mind? You ask yourself, where does Satan have my mind? What am I thinking about right now? Where's my mind? Is my mind on Jesus or on myself? And saying, man, Jesus needs to just go on, man. I'm tired of him right now. It doesn't matter with that if you might say that about me, because I'm still going to say my piece. They gave me a microphone. But you sit there and you look at it. It says that, you know, Paul says, do not be conformed to the power of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you go about renewing your mind? How you go about renewing your mind? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will for you. So do you need to be scared, holy? Something drastically happened behind you. Somebody that you know that just fell away and left God, left their marriage, left all this stuff. And you're saying, man, I can't believe that happened. It happens every day. Secondly, you need to admit your sins and your weaknesses. You need to admit it. I've got a problem here. I have a problem here. Is a comedian named Bone from he's from Mississippi, but I heard him from a set of his out of California. Bone said that, you know, there are different problems that different Christians have. He said, I can sit in crack house all day long and that crack don't bother me. You know, I sit there and I can, you know, they can smoke a joint or drink a beer and that don't bother me. But he said, that's not my problem. My problem is women. You see me in the strip club, you know that I got problems right there. It may start off good, but it's not going to end up ugly. You know, you got to admit that you have a problem. Admit your sin and your weaknesses and call sin what it is, sin. It's not a problem. Well, he's just got a problem. No. Problem? Are we going to water down this thing? Politically correct? This thing? He's struggling with, no. Call sin what it is, sin. Not just a problem. It's disobedient to God. And it's dragging you away from your Creator. It's dragging you away. Third, you need to put away all the rationalizations. You know? Well, I was at the bar with the guys because the guys from work, all of them was going there. I'm drinking a Coke, but everybody going there, you know. Well, the reason, see, it is the reason why I went to the wet t-shirt contest because everybody. Or Gary, the reason why I work 70 hours a week and all this stuff and da-da-da is, what are you doing? You rationalizing everything that you're doing. You think that your sin problem is going to get any better? You think your lust problem is going to get any better? It's not. You got to be willing to call it what it is. Number four is you got to learn that you will never will become invulnerable against lust. You know what I mean by that? Invulnerable against lust? You're going to be vulnerable to it. And you got to admit that you're going to be vulnerable to it. Period. Whatever that is. That's the reason why I didn't want to do this lesson just solely on sex and everybody have problems with sex, because people have problems with lust in other areas other than sex. That's why I'm doing it. You know, you name whatever yours it is. Yours is what it is. But you've got to understand that you cannot sit around certain things and certain people. I cannot sit around and joke with people for a long period of time. You know why? Because they're going to start telling short jokes and I'm getting ready to get mad. This little ball head get ready to do some really sweating, and I'm getting ready to do some real, I'm coming at you hard then. I'm coming to hurt you. That's a problem, right? And I love talking about people too, so I have to be able to do it. But the thing is what I'm saying to you is this right here. You've got to understand that you are vulnerable to these things. I tell the guys out of the way, you've got to understand your weakness of drug addiction. Y'all remember telling y'all that? You got to understand your weakness of drug addiction. You got to understand what your triggers are. You know what your triggers are. You know that you can't go over Butler Terrace. By the way, if y'all don't know where it is, it's over there off a similar drive, off of Governor's. This is like, yes. I'm telling it so they know where y'all are. They don't see y'all. But you know you're vulnerable. You know there's a certain shape, certain size, certain guy, certain woman that you cannot hang around for a long time because you know it's not gonna go right. You know that. You know that. Say amen we can. Y'all sitting there looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, yeah, you're crazy. But you can't. You know, you got to know that you're vulnerable to these things, and you got to understand that these things can drag you down. They can. You can't gamble. Some people that can't gamble, their biggest lust is gambling. It doesn't matter what it is. You ever been around a gambler before? They'll gamble on anything. I bet you I can tie my shoes faster than you, Alan. How much would you bet? One bet? Come on. How much? $5. Come on. You ready? Come on, $5. Yeah. Huh? Are you fast? Oh, you're not faster than me. I got you, Doc. I got you. You know, they are vulnerable. They got to understand where you are and what it's all about. I'm not using scripture right now. I'm going to come back with scripture. I just wanted to get these points out. You have to realize this one, too. You can't think, I finally conquered it. I never have a problem with it again, Ed. I've got it. I'll never have a problem with it again. Never. Hello. Who did you just lie to? Satan just heard that one. And lastly, you got to look at it. You must recognize our weaknesses at all times. Recognize our weaknesses at all times. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't fall. Because once you think that you got it licked, you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be able, that you're not going to be able to handle. Because in verse 13, it says, no temptation has overcome you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, He also provides a way out that you can endure it. You're going to be tempted. Temptation is here and it's there for you. It's there. But Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses. That's after Paul asked God to take it away from him a couple of times. Paul said, I delight in my weaknesses. He said, I do. Insults, hardships, and persecution and difficulties. But when I am weak, I'm strong. God's going to help me through it and get me through it. I'm doing it on time. My third point is that winning the war against a lust is this right here, dealing with my thought life. And I got this one from an article that I was reading, and it was very interesting. And this is some of the things he said in this. He said one of the convenient things about the sin of lust is that if you're not careful, nobody else knows that you are doing it. Just think about that. He said one of the convenient things about the sin of lust is that if you're careful, nobody else knows that you are doing it because it's in your thought life. You know what I mean? You know the scriptures say take every thought captive? That's what Paul said, take every thought captive. Well, how do you go about doing that? You know, you address it when it's small, like a crack in a dam, you know? You know, you have to examine that wall, the dam, every so often for cracks. Why do you have to do that? Why is it important to do that? Because of the pressure. And if you don't address the crack in that dam, what's going to happen? It's going to what? It's going to have a whole big problem in it. That's the same with thought. You have to deal with it while it's here and while it's small and while you can address it right now. And you deal with it by confessing it as soon as possible. In your thought. You ever thought about this one here, about memorizing scripture? You ever thought about that? You have a problem with something, you put a scripture to memorization so you know it? You know, you have to find ways in which you yourself have to deal with that thought. You ever thought about somebody that in your mind you thought about, man, they don't like me. You ever think about that? Sharon don't like me. And you just look at Sharon and say, man, she thinks she all that. Look at her sitting by her husband. Been married 50 years. Oh, she thinks she knows everything, man. Someone can't stand it, Miss Sharon. Look, hey, Miss Sharon, how you doing? Miss Sharon don't even know that this thing's going to my mind. And so all that happened was is Miss Sharon bumped into you and jokingly said, girl, get out of my way. The thought in the head was what? She don't like me. You see how it works with lust too? If you don't take it captive early, if you don't address it early, I'm telling you, it's just like that dam. If you don't address it, oh boy, a flood is coming. That levee, that dam is going to break and it's going to hurt everything around it. It is. So you deal with your thought life and how you're thinking. And just don't deal with it. Deal radically with your thought life to win the war against lust. You don't want these things in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. You want to get rid of it as soon as possible. Guys, when I do these lessons, there's several things I was sharing with Mike earlier. It goes to my head. You know, by nature, God made me a social scientist. So everything comes social and in relationships and dealing with what goes on around me. That's why I tell stories about friends and things like that in me. Scripture tells us and gives us things that helps us, prepares our minds and our heart for those things. I just don't have to rely on my social scientist. I have the Word of God. That's why I'm sharing scriptures with you guys as well tonight. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strong hopes. That's why scripture memorization is so good, because they have divine power to demolish stronghold, things that strengthen you, strangling you. You know what stronghold is? Something that got you can't get away from. My dad worked at a brick company, at a brickyard. He worked at Johnson Concrete for 18 years, and his hands was hard as rocks. That little man put his hands on you, boy, you ain't going nowhere. You try to run from lust to different man, you ain't getting away from him. Lust come like, oh, back here, and he got you, boy. And you're trying to get away, you can't get away. That's a stronghold. It's something that's strangling the life out of you. But it says that the scripture does what? It says that our weapons what? On the contrary, they are divine powers to demolish all strongholds. Guys, if you're not dealing with those strongholds right here, what's going to happen is going to fester inside of you, and you're going to have all this stuff in here. And I see this a lot with some people. They have all this scripture up in them, and they haven't dealt with the sin is, and they become religious, and they can quote every scripture you want to, but it has no effect on their lives and anyone else's life. But they get in religious arguments. Y'all seen those guys get in religious arguments. They win those religious arguments. But man, their life don't represent anything what's going on. Because God got them. Satan has them. By the nap of their neck and won't let them go. My last point. In order to win the war against lust, don't just pray. But you got to obey. You ever seen this one right here? Rob, you ever seen this right here? Somebody come to you and they pray. They just got through praying. And they sit and they wait and say, God, I'm waiting for you to take me. All right. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? I prayed. I'm ready. And it haven't happened yet. Because there's some other things that go along with this. You know, you find the scripture. Let's see if I find the scripture. I don't even have that written down. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. So what is that scripture telling you? Oh, hang around it, Miss Drew. Flirt with it. It's okay. You know, oh, have a party with it. What it tells you to do? Run. Run, Forrest, run. Run as fast as you can. Whatever it is, run from it. Now, there's use sexual morality there, but whatever it is, you got to run from those lustful desires. You cannot give into it. Man, you can't hang out with it. You cannot spend time with it. You got to take flight and get out and get away from it as quick as you can. There's a guy that I grew up with, and we used to go out and then end up getting in fights. And he would always run. Ed, he would always run. I've never seen that guy stay in a fight since we fight. And he might start and he run. Man, what happened to you? Boy, whoo, I was going to get help. He was always going to get help. Boy, you weren't going to get help. No, stop lying. You weren't going to help. He was running away from what was going on there. Prayer is the type of thing that it puts responsibility on you to do something. All of us have a responsibility to do something along with the prayer. Galatians 5:16, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You can pray about it, but he tells you to do what? You got to walk. No, you just stand over here. No. He said what? So I say to you, you got to walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify desires of the flesh. So what is that saying? You won't gratify some of the stuff that's been a part of your life and that's been holding, been having a stronghold with you the rest of your life. It changed the way that you look at life. It starts changing your perspective. It starts changing your perspective on everything that you're in. It changes you. It was a young man that came to me and he asked me, he said, gee, I want you to help me to be a man. I just become a Christian. I have this girl that I love and I care for and I want to date her the way God wants her to date. But I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what in the heck I'm doing. He said, I don't. He said, I'm trying to keep it pure, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing what's right. So he wanted to walk. And one of the first scriptures I read to him was Galatians 5:16. You know, you got to walk in the Spirit, son. You do. You got to learn what it means to gratify desires, not to gratify the desires of your flesh. Because in the world told you how to date in a certain way. You can't do that. Well, how are you going to learn it? You got to get in that book and you got to learn what God wants you to do. He said, well, gee, I've never really studied the Bible before. This is what he told me. Honestly, he told me, I never really sat down. I've become a Christian. I know what to do, but I never really studied it. I gave him the 5-5 theory of studying. 15 minutes. 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of meditation, 5 minutes of prayer. That's where you start, small, right there. I said, I want you to do that for a week. He said, is it all right that I go 10? Hello, you're getting it, boy. You're getting it, boy. That guy right now is one of the most spiritual men I've ever been around. Alex Coleman. He is. Love me some Alex. He talk about how short I am. And I talk about how fat he is too. So it goes both ways. But I love me some Alex. Y'all see how he treats his wife with dignity and with pride. It started with his dating with Amanda. Started right there. He didn't just pray about it. He was about it. He was obeying what the Word of God telling him to do. If you have something that's tempting you to sin, what should you do about it? Huh? Flee. Get rid of it. Flee. Run, right? Run. If you have something that you just struggling with desire and it's taking control of you, what do you need to start doing? You need to pray about it, but you need to start being about it too by doing some things that you need to do. I like this scripture, and this is my last scripture, found in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. It teaches us to say what? No to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age. If you want to win the war against lust, you need to be holy. Admit your sin and your weaknesses. Deal with your thought life. Don't pray, just pray, but be about it. Obey what the Word tells you to do. Then let me read you this. I lied. I'm sorry, guys. Let me read the scripture right here. I think it'll tie everything back in. Everybody all right? Say amen. I'm almost done. Let me find this last scripture. I'm turning pages here. Thank y'all for being so patient. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Let me read this one, and I think it'll tie everything in what we're talking about tonight about lust. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and His pleasing and perfect will. Let's pray. God, you're good. And God, we know that Satan is busy. And I know Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I know that he has come to take our desires that we have and to take them 10 times worse than what they really are and turn them into lust where we feel like that we're just engulfed in it. And we don't feel like that we have victory. But we can win. We can win this battle against lust. I praise you and I thank you for your holy scriptures that speaks to us. And I pray that the words of my mouth this evening has touched the hearts of some in this room. Father, maybe some people in this room that might not even need this lesson, that's fine. But there are some people that really needed to hear this tonight. And I pray they take heed to it. And they do what it tells them to do. Father, we know that we all struggle. And we fall and we stumble. But praise be to God for your grace and your mercy that you lift us up and gives us hope so we can have victory upon victory. And we pray this all in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Good evening.